two. The sun don't shine on the righteous, it shines on the villains and the thieves. The sun don't shine on a man working hard upon his knees. And I know.
Hello and welcome along to the New Music Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. The New Music Podcast in conjunction with Seaside Sessions. This is episode 8 and I'm joined here by the first collaboration podcast. I'm joined here by Luke Jackson.
Hello.
And by William Thomas.
Good evening.
Both of you have appeared in session over the last few months. Thank you very much for coming back along, boys.
A pleasure.
Appreciate your time. So what we're going to do today, we've got two songs from each of you. Mm-hmm. So the standard format, obviously, we go through a couple of your songs and talk about, you know, the inspirations behind each song and behind you as artists. And then you've got a new song, which is the new song on your new album, Luke? Is that
the one we did together?
The collaboration song.
No, that's
song,
on,
yeah.
Charlie's.
Oh, it's on Charlie's. I'm sorry. Yeah. So we're going to finish up today with the collab song, with that. And then we've got 2 5-minute song challenges right at the end. So looking forward to those things, boys.
Oh, we've been talking about this for the past couple of days.
we're going to prep something. And then we both met today and was like, have you sorted anything out? I was like, no.
it's like doing your homework at school. It makes you feel a little bit better if somebody else hasn't done it.
See, so I tell everyone about this and I say, we're going to chat about a few things about you. And then the 5-minute challenge is going to be about what we talk about, so you can prep in as far as you know what you're going to tell me, but no one preps. But a lot of people are like, I'm not thinking about it, I just want to do it in 5 minutes and see how it comes out.
I think as a concept it's quite interesting.
When I'm very stressed out for 5 minutes, I don't know where that concept's gonna go, but
Alright, so we're gonna delve into a little bit between you guys, your relationship and how you met and why we're here together with you. But we're gonna jump straight into your first song today, Will. So Jack's Whiskey, let's do this. Tell me about what it means, what it's about, how the lyrics came about.
Well, the original idea for the song came about when I started writing the music for it first. I finished doing some busking in Folkestone and it was a really crap rainy day, and ended up going to a cafe with a friend of mine, but they've got guitars all up on the wall. Okay. And you can sit around and play if you want to, and there was no one else in there, so we just started like messing about with it and came across this sort of like the opening riff to it, which is quite like you'll recognise it when you hear the song.
Okay.
And then sort of started trying to put a melody to it, and then afterwards I started writing about just sort of like a night out with some friends of mine. We ended up going camping, having a bonfire, and then just sort of like spent the night drinking together. But it was weird because everyone was kind of going off to uni and going their separate ways, and people had started working full time, and it was the first real time that we realised that this summer is probably going to be the last time that we all see each other properly.
Oh man, it sounds like an American Pie.
Wasn't I invited to this night?
Because nobody actually likes you. and like throughout the night, I got blind drunk, but a friend of mine just kept on like I sort of like fell asleep and kept on waking up, and every time a friend of mine was dancing around the bonfire with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Okay.
And every time that I kind of woke up from my drunken slumber at different points during the night, just more and more of the whiskey was gone, and I thought that'd be quite a cool sort of like thing to start writing a song about. And then the song just kind of developed with different points from there, and sort of like, and just thinking it might be the last time and stuff like that. And
nice, and
that's how the song started.
That's a nice moment. Yeah. I like it. It's like, so like when you wrote this, like how do you write music? Like do you sort of like sit down purposely and think, I need to write something today, I'm going to use that as inspiration? Or is it just come to you like 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and you have to get something down quickly?
What I tend to do is, I've never been somebody that sort of like thinks, oh, I've got to write this song like right now, this comes straight into my head. What I usually do is I see sort of like small things, stuff that I like, sort of like even like sort of like small pictures or like snap scenes from life. And then I'll write that down in a little notepad. And then when it comes to actually writing, I have to spend sort of like 8 hours just shut in a room with my guitar and a notepad. Oh, yeah. And then really sort of like start to expand on it, because I think there's a lot of poetic license that you're allowed to have in songwriting, and writing about one specific scene, if you're trying to get all the facts right, sometimes just doesn't work as well in the song. And that's how I usually do my writing. It usually comes about with me starting sort of like a melody, whether that be on the guitar or the lyrics. And then just sort of like expanding from that idea from there, trying to write around it. And usually I have like this one little scene that I was trying to write about, and I've written about something completely different by the end of it. But I think that happens quite a lot in songwriting, really.
Yeah, I imagine it does. Yeah. I was talking to, on the last episode, a guy called Squangy Bobbins. And he
fantastic
said,
name.
He said the same sort of thing. Usually he kind of comes up with a melody and he puts just nonsense lyrics to it just to try and expand it out. And it usually just ends up as a completely different tangent than he started, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time I write stuff and I'll be happy with sort of like one aspect of it, especially when you come back to something like 2 weeks later. There's a sort of like good amount of time to leave something, because whenever you're writing a song, you think it's the greatest song that's ever been written. It's kind of like a like tribute.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Sort of like you think it's the best thing that you've ever written or ever will be written. And then you sort of like leave it for like, for 2 weeks, come back to it and you go, oh my God, how drunk was I when I wrote this? Like, this looks like the scribblings of a madman. But there's usually sort of like one part of it that I like, either like the melody of the song or the way like the chords and the guitar are like, or the lyrics. And usually you can sort of like expand on one of those and spend a bit more time writing it, which is how sort of like songs end up getting written and properly recorded at the end of the day.
Nice one. But, okay. Yeah. All right. So the best song that's ever been written or will ever be written, Jack's Whiskey. Let's give it a listen,
shall we? No. No, can we not introduce it like that?
You asked him to say that before the song.
I'm joking. Let's get into it.
Campfires roaring, embers glowing in the air. And the girls are all dressed up, boys act like they don't care. And Jack's dancing with whiskey in his hand. Smoke 20 cigarettes, probably smoke 20 more. We're all unbreakable until our backs are on the floor. I've had one too many drinks, maybe one too many cans. And Jack's dancing with whiskey in his hands. Stars, they shimmer like sunlight on the sea. And I'll lay my body under that old oak tree. My mama told me, remember days like this, with a close hand full of friends and your heart worn on your wrist. Days are getting older and winter's drawing in. The one thing that I'm certain is I'll see Jack dancing in the spring.
Then so back in with Luke Jackson, let's go back to one of your songs. So the first track of yours that we're bringing in today, Kansas, tell me about it.
Kansas is on the latest CD. I'm just about to bring out a live CD, but the last studio album, and I've done it twice now. It's a thing in it's based at the moment in America, in Kansas, a big convention called Folk Alliance.
Okay.
Essentially they take a hotel, fill the first four floors with musicians, and all the hotel rooms, the corridors, the lobbies, everywhere is filled with musicians playing music, doing sessions. And then they invite loads of people from around the globe within the business, so like PR people, festival organizers, managers.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity, I suppose, an opportunity for me as a UK artist to like try break through and make some connections in America. And for American artists, it's to get involved in the festival scenes and to find booking agents and that kind of stuff. So I went out there a couple of years ago, and next year it's based in Montreal, but it's Kansas again this year. And I went out there with a bunch of guys from the UK, And you're there for about 5 days. Just do loads of sessions, and it's like through the night as well. So you're
that's unbelievable.
It is. It's really cool. You play in like the corner of a hotel room. The beds, yeah. All the furniture's still in there, but they just like ram 40 odd people in there.
Wow.
And it's the case where you can go and you can play in a room to like one person, and it's really awkward. And you're a bit like, but it's like 2 a.m. and everyone else is like drunk down in the pub and stuff.
Right.
And then other times you go and there's 40, 50 people, you're playing in the corner. And even in the case of that one person being in there, you don't know whether they're a manager of some really big American.
Yeah,
you don't know who you're playing to. So that's kind of like the excitement behind it. But you get to meet loads of lovely people. And I got a tour out in America with a fantastic singer-songwriter, an American girl called Rebecca Lobian, and she came over and toured with me in the UK.
Brilliant.
So like stuff came from it.
Yes, it's worthwhile then.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. But I was out there with a friend of mine, a great musician, just he's the funniest lad, isn't he? Jack Harris, fantastic singer-songwriter, a great guy, London-based, and we was room-sharing. And he's mad, and he was out the week before doing I think he might have been doing a few dates or was just out seeing friends, and he couldn't get his own guitar for the conference over into to the States, so he borrowed a friend's guitar of his. And as soon as I arrived, he was already at the hotel. He said, "Come upstairs, I've got to show you this guitar, you'll love it."
Right.
And I went up in the room we were sharing, he opened up, and there was this beautiful old, like, vintage, very old, very fragile, incredibly expensive, like, Sunburst Gibson.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, that is gorgeous. And I went to pick it up, and it was like, just before, let me just say, like, throughout the week, like, I'd rather no one else plays it. It's like, it's so expensive, it's so fragile. Me playing it this week's giving me anxiety, the thought of anyone else playing it and denting it anymore or like anything like that. It just, no.
Right.
I was like, all right, fair enough. And I lasted like maybe 2 days, like through the night it was calling my name saying play me and all of this. So I was like, I've got to find an opportunity to get this guitar. And they do the sessions that are, what do they call them? Your showcase session. So these are like the more important ones in the bigger rooms. Anyway, he had this about 2-3 days in and said, I want to play some of my punchy songs. Can I use your guitar? Because I feel worried about doing it on the old Gibson. I was like, oh, that's fine then. And he disappeared with my guitar. And as soon as he left, I thought, I'm not having this. I'm not going to go with his guitar. So I locked the door and I opened up the guitar case and started playing the guitar. And like he had left it with the capo up on the 7th fret. And I thought, I'm not even going to change this. That's just leaving clues. I'm keeping it exactly as it was.
Okay.
So I started playing these guitar chords way up high on the neck, and it was in a weird tuning. And I just thought, I'll keep it in that and figure out what I'm doing. And there's a weird thing that you get when you pick up a different instrument. Your hands naturally go to different places, I find. I don't know if you find that. Where, like, you're picking up a different instrument and you just play different chords. Or
that's interesting.
Writing on a different
trying
guitar.
To find something that matches the sound of the...
Yeah, like, I guess. And with this, it was I didn't want to write a punchy song on this guitar because it was such a delicate guitar. I wanted to write a really, like, slow, delicate piece of music on it. And I found these chords, and we was up on, like, the 19th floor in this hotel, and it had this huge window that overlooked the skyline of Kansas. And in 20 minutes, I had written this song because I was simply just picking things off from the view I had in front of me. And yeah, by the time Jack got back in the room, I placed the guitar exactly as I found it and buried myself in a Netflix series, and he never knew.
He didn't know until you did your gig at the Cecil Sharp's house, and he told that exact story when Jack was in the crowd, and you just heard, bollocks!
That's brilliant. You should get a co-writer credit on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds amazing.
The song came about, anyway.
I love it. All right, well, let's give it a listen.
Kansas City lights flicker like pennies in the water. Sun sets in a glowing shade of gold. Noise bleeds from the streets as the city people saunter and ponder on a place they ought to go. Find me in my hotel room, a bird's eye of the station, with red wine on my lips and on my clothes, mumbling a tired tune gently to my pillow, and dreaming of the day I'm coming. Thank you.
dance through corridors as morning comes a-calling. Strangers stumbling home from late night bars. The rumble of a Chevrolet keeps me from falling into a dream of you. At home, but coming back to you is a promise worth fulfilling. So my English rose, my English rose.
Then, so I think it's time to get to know you guys a little bit. So tell us why you're here together. Tell us, you've come and done this podcast together. You're obviously good mates. You do a bit of touring together. Tell us about the relationship. Come on, how did you meet? How did you?
We met in college.
Okay.
Yeah, about 8 years ago now. Started in 2010, didn't we?
Yeah.
And the first time I actually met Luke was at the entrance exam of college, and it was the theory part of it. And I was completely messing it up. And he looked over my shoulder and went, "That actually goes there, mate." And I was like, "Cheers." So, yeah, nice. It's probably the reason I've got into music college.
Been lifting him out the gutter ever since.
Yeah.
And William Thomas, you're not William Thomas by right. Yeah. You're Charlie. So tell us a story about the name. How did this change?
Well,
what happened here?
When I used to play in a lot of old bands, like a lot of bands and stuff when I was younger. So it never really mattered what my name was. I was just like the second guitarist in the band. But when I started doing solo stuff and solo acoustic and started writing, and especially when I started gigging, there's another musician called Charles Lawson who plays in the town over from me and does all the local gigs the same that I do. And when I first started doing this, obviously any person who really does solo music knows when you first start off, especially coming from like a band environment, when you've got four of your mates stood beside you and you can all sort of like do it together, it's quite a nerve-wracking thing, especially when it's just you and acoustic guitar and the microphone. And that wasn't particularly helped by the fact that I was getting booked for this bloke's gigs, turning up doing sort of like acoustic folk, sort of like mixed with sort of like pop covers that I've turned into acoustic songs and stuff, when they wanted to hear sort of like freestyle jazz. And I don't know if you ever had 30 blokes stare at you in the pub and just going, "We really don't like you." But as a, and all mumbling under their breath, and you can definitely hear them saying, "You're crap."
Can I just clarify? Did you find out after the first gig, or did you do a couple of gigs like this?
It was the first gig, and okay. then I had a couple good ones where sort of like I was booked for the right place, and okay. It happened again. And I think it was the third time where I was just like, "Nah, I'm not doing this no more."
But then I always muck it up, because when he comes on stage, we've done, we were saying before we started this podcast that we've done some stuff out in Europe.
Yeah.
And Charlie has got these CDs with William Thomas on it, because obviously that's his stage name.
Yeah.
Because
and I'd always mess it up. I'd be like, and that was Charlie, William Charlie. I'd always get, and he'd give me just like these daggers from the end of the room.
Because what
get it wrong. It's not good for the branding, man.
Yeah, I know, it's really not. And what it is it's just the fact that sort of like I started off doing it, and then I got the bit of like, because it got more and more popular, and obviously it didn't really matter after a certain point, and when I played enough places, obviously I had the business cards printed, and then I had the EP done, and now it kind of feels like I'm too far in to be able to go back. I've gone like the Breaking Bad route. I've started cooking too much, and now I just can't go back to being like to being normal.
That's a great analogy. Yeah. I love it. Alright, so William Thomas, let's get into your second track. So Come the Autumn, tell me about this one.
I actually started off, like I was saying earlier, with kind of I was away, it was like my first time properly being away. I was away for about 2 weeks, and I was playing a string of shows up north, playing in York, Leeds, Liverpool, sort of all around that area. And I was about 2 weeks into it, and I only had sort of like a little while left to do the gigs, but it was just when I was sort of, just when I'd run out of money, even though the gigs were paying, but it's difficult with accommodation and everything, especially when you're sorting it all out yourself. And run out of clean clothes, and I was just feeling sort of like having a bit of a downer, and I was outside a cafe in Leeds, sort of like just having a cigarette, and the sun was coming down on the top of these buildings, and just sort of like, you know, sort of like when it's just really bright sunlight that's shooting down on it.
And
I came up with the line of high-rise buildings are burning in the sunshine, and I quite liked the line, and then I sort of like wrote it. I went back to the place that I was staying and started writing little bits of it, sort of like some of the key lines in it, and just sort of like, and then was realising that I was kind of like missing home quite a little bit, well, quite a lot, and just wanting to be back. And it was coming to sort of like the end of the summer, so I thought it'd be quite nice to have a song about coming home during the autumn time when the seasons change. And I quite like writing about sort of like seasonal changes and like bits of nature, and just putting it in to create more of like a crisp image when I'm writing songs. And it all sort of came about through that, and just sort of like wanting to get home, and the feeling of like, yeah, being homesick and being away, and just the thought of having sort of like being back and being comfortable and being back with somebody that you want to be with.
Yeah, nice.
Instead of just being sat on your toilet outside a cafe in Leeds, smoking your last fag.
That's beautiful, man. I love it. All right, well, I think we're about to get some feels of nostalgia if anyone's away while they're listening to this on a road trip. So this is Come the Autumn.
Cobbled streets and roads that cease to wind. High-rise rooftops are burning in the sunshine. Cigarette smoke is filling up the air. I'll be home with you soon, my dear. City hard where the river ebbs and flows. Boys in orange jackets are tearing up the road. So much hustle and bustle, I'm struggling. I'll be home you soon, my dear. I'll be home come the autumn, when the wind's chilled against your cheek. When the days start to lose their warmth and the songbirds have finished their song. I'll be home you soon, my dear. Foreign stone beneath my feet. The engine's kicking now, nothing but steam and heat. Too many drinks and I can't see clear. Be home, be soon, my dear. I'll be home. Come the autumn, when the wind's chilled against your cheek. When the days start to lose their warm song, birds have finished their song. I'll be home with you soon, my dear. 'Cause these city nights are restless and I'm struggling to sleep. My body's feeling hollow, my soul's feeling cheap. I'll be back in your arms swiftly, there's never a need to fear. I'll be home with you soon, my dear. I'll be home with you soon.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so we got the second track by you now, Luke. So this is the fourth out of five that we're doing today. So this is off the forthcoming EP. Tell us about this. So this track's called Answers Have Gone.
Yeah, so I put on a show in Canterbury a couple of months back, and we just recorded the whole night, and now that's being released as a live album. And I do a lot of touring in different outfits, in the sense of I do solo stuff, duo stuff and trio stuff. Depending on what time of year it is, depending what festivals, depending whereabouts it is, you can see me in any of those formats. So the idea for the live album was just to do, I'm basically ripping off John Mayer in the sense of I did a solo show, a duo show and a trio show.
Right.
So we did three sets of these different sets, and Answers Have Gone, the song you're about to play, was from an album of mine called Fumes and Faith, which was released in 2013, maybe.
Oh yeah.
So it's quite an early one.
Okay.
And Answers Are Gone was actually, so this is the trio version that's on the live album. Mm-hmm. So with my bassist Andy Sharps and drummer Connor Downs, and it was the first song we ever played together, the three of us. Like we, because Charlie knows him as well, because we all went to college together, and we've all been friends for like the 8 years that we've known each other. We all met at the same time.
It's been a long 8 years.
A long, long 8 years. We played in a band in college. We played in lots of different bands and like function projects and things. So we'd all played music with each other.
The whole aspect of college was to be able to play in as many different and make you as much of a versatile musician as possible.
100%.
Put you with people that was like mix match and stuff. And
yeah, okay. So I'd played with the boys before, and what it was is I was doing a video session thing I got asked to do in Folkestone, and I remember I just thought, oh, I'll message Andy, see if he's about and he can play a bit of bass. It was only two songs, so I was like, play a bit of bass to it, it'll be nice. And then Connor messaged me just saying, oh, how you doing, been a while. And I said, oh, on the off chance, are you about, I'm doing this session Andy's in, do you want to play the drums for it? And before I knew it, we was filming these things, and it just got a really good response. It got like a load of views and a load of really good feedback, and people just seemed to like hearing the songs that, because they were the songs that I'd written,
yeah,
and then had taken it to the boys, and then they put their parts on it, and they're both fantastic musicians. And it was then a long time after that we actually started touring as the trio, but that was like the first thing and the first time the three of us had ever been in a room together and played one of the songs that I'd written for my solo stuff. And yeah, when choosing tracks for this live album, I kind of set myself a rule that I didn't want to put any new songs on it. I wanted to save those for the next studio album. So that meant that I had to dive way back into the older stuff. And Answers Are Gone, I hadn't played for maybe 3 years live.
Really?
And then we brought it back up. And it's one of those songs that when I listen back now to the live album, going through it all, making sure it's all right and that, I'm just so happy with the way that it sounds. And the recorded version on Fumes and Faith is cool, but I just think, God, I wish I'd just recorded it the way it is on the live album.
Definitely.
It's completely brought the song to life again for me. Sometimes you play songs so much that they become a bit numb, and you get fed, in all honesty, you get a bit fed up with playing them.
I can imagine, yeah, of course. Like, people love what you do, love your hits, but eventually you're playing them so often.
Exactly, there's the old line that Jimmy Page had about that, about playing Stairway to Heaven, about how he absolutely loved it when he wrote it and it first came out, it was on the Led Zeppelin album, and then when they started touring with it, he really liked it, and then he didn't like it as much, and then he absolutely hated it.
Right.
And then it took him years and years of still playing it to finally actually start to like his own song again.
Right.
And I think Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys had the same thing with Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor,
right,
and a couple of other
but
tracks.
Then with those bands, they, because it's such a big hit, you can't bury it.
Yeah,
because if they go to a gig and they don't play Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor, Stairway to Heaven, people are gonna hate that. Whereas if I don't go and play one song that I'd written and I play a bunch of new stuff and more frequent stuff and recent stuff, people aren't gonna really worry. I haven't got hits, so like burying a song is a hard thing to do.
Foy Vance got a complaint at one of his gigs, so like on Twitter, they said, I took my mum to come see this show and Foy Vance didn't play any of his hits, and he was playing piano and just goes, I haven't got any hits.
You've come to the wrong show.
Brilliant.
So I just, with those, I'm I'm in a space where, because I'm writing so often, I can chuck a new song in and just replace that, or simply don't play it. And with this, it's one that I forgot about. As I said, I didn't play it live for about 3 years, and then I took it back to the boys and was like, do you remember this? And it was like one of those things where in all of our, like, a light bulb went off and went, oh, I remember. And it was like, we hadn't played it for 3 or 4 years, and I said, let's go, 1, 2, 3, 4, count us in, bosh,
straight
perfect.
In. Yeah.
And I was like, we have to do that. And it just, I don't know, just doing it now feels really good, and it's brought it back to life for me. So
I mean, I love a live album personally. If I'm ever looking on Spotify, I had someone in last night, I was recording last night, and the guy, he did a Frank Turner cover, and so I'm getting on Spotify, it was a great song, and it's someone that I'd not heard before, and looked on Spotify for it, and I purposely go for the version that he's doing live rather than the
what
version
song was
of the,
it
was the ballad to me and
the
the
ballad of me and my friend.
That's the one.
That's a great, great song. He only has the live album, a live version of it. There isn't, I don't think there is a recorded one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, I loved it.
Because that's the line before the show when we were talking about it. I stole that line from Frank Turner.
Oh, yeah?
You're saying about everyone you know is a DJ, a songwriter, or a professional club photographer.
Yeah, that's right. He was
that whole thing. Yes, it's a great line for a song.
It is perfect.
You hear everyone in the crowd going, yeah. But then if you ever go to a Frank Turner gig, the majority of the people in the crowd are DJs, photographers, or like singer-songwriters.
Yeah, there's something special about a live album. And I was debating whether to do a live album or a covers album, because I do a lot of covers as well. And I think one day maybe I will do a covers album. But
sure.
It just seemed like not such a nice concept. We did it in a place called Bramley's in Canterbury, which is this lovely little cocktail bar. And it's like round the back and you can fit about 80 people in there. And it was just this small, crowded, sweaty night, and it was just full of music and full of familiar faces. And I hope that's come across on the album. Jack Harris, who we mentioned earlier, you hear him whooping throughout the album, which is just hilarious. And it's like,
fantastic.
And you hear Rossi, the Scottish tour manager, moaning.
So I just think it's got a really nice feel to it, and I hope that's come across on the CD. And Dan Lucas, who did Charlie's EP and did all of my last, including this one, it'll be the last three records of mine, he mixed it all and did all of that, and the man's a genius. So it's just so nice to kind of hear the takes be polished up and
of course.
And as well, like, listening back, like, hearing the way I perform songs and the way the boys perform the songs live is completely different to what it was on the record, or to what I'm hearing whilst I'm playing it. So to hear that is really interesting as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool, man. Very nice. All right, well, let's give this one a listen. So this is Answers Have Gone.
1, 2.
The sun don't shine on the righteous. It shines on the villains and the thieves. The sun don't shine on a man working hard upon his knees. And I know from where I'm standing, the sun will not break down on through these trees. But I hope against hope, if that's all I can do, that the sun will shine down on me. The rain falls with good intentions on men who only set out to please, who spend their life trying to do things right, but the sun ain't got no time for these. Makes me wanna pack it up, pack it in. What kind of lessons are they trying to teach when they lay your dreams out in front of you, but still they're out of reach? Well, my heart's feeling heavy and my head's down low, and I'm running out of road. Only so many streets in this old town, and I don't know where to go now. Don't ask me no questions, the truth is I do not know. The answers have gone, the answers have gone. Man rolls around in his sleep, and his conscience, well, it slowly eats. He knows there's only so many people he can bring down until he runs out of people to meet. I'm not one for telling stories, but I tell a little something right here, right now, for free. If you're gonna spend your life following the light, then make sure it's the light you seek. Well, my heart's feeling heavy and my head's down low. Have gone, the answers have gone. heavy and my head's down low and I'm running out of road. There's only so many streets in this old town and so I don't really know where it is that I wanna go. So don't you ask me no questions. See, the truth is I do not know. The answers have gone. The answers have gone. The answers have gone. Well, my heart's feeling heavy and my head's down low. I'm running out of road. Only so many streets in this old town, and I don't know where to go. Don't ask me no questions. The truth is I do not know. The answers have gone. The answers have gone, the answers have gone, answers have gone, and all of the answers have gone.
Okay then, so here we go, the last track that you guys are kind of bringing to us today. This is the collab track, yeah. The reason that we're here today. So I don't know anything about this. I was going to ask a couple of questions to prep, so I knew which way to go, but I don't know. So tell me, who wrote it, when did you write it, how did it get together?
So I guess because you wanted to... Charlie had the idea of doing an EP of his own stuff and writing songs, and you'd been writing various different songs. So the two songs that are played already, I'm sure you'd already written those.
Yeah, they were not. Well, they were starting to come together. The sort of thing, because I had a lot of stuff, especially when you're writing EPs or albums or whatever you're doing, you always write sort of like I do anyway. You seem to write more than you actually like put on the album.
Right.
Oh, you try and get like the cream of the crop and the best stuff that you've got. And so I had a couple of things and I had a couple of other songs that were kind of in the works. But I think me and you just met up for a coffee one day, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we just met up and we was in Dover and Charlie said, oh, come back to the house and let's have a play on the guitars. But then I had my guitar over, so maybe we ended up in a room, both of us had our guitars, and we started writing this song. And it just kind of came out, really. We had it written quite quickly, you know, and it was nice to have that. And then when Charlie recorded the EP with Dan, who we just mentioned, I was off the road and I was at a spare end, and we ended up doing it a lot together. So the harmonies you'll hear on some of the tracks that you've played of Charlie, I was putting down, and it was nice that we ended up just doing a lot together. And then it was really nice because although we wrote the song together, Still Stumbling, which is about to be played, like, I think at the time, we just wrote it together with the intentions of you going and playing it. But then when we took it to do the EP, we sing a verse each and it's just more of like a duet thing. And it's been nice. It was nice writing that.
What was quite nice about the song was, because obviously me and Luke didn't meet each other till we were in college, so we were about 16, 17 when we first met. Mm. And the song kind of has the idea behind it of sort of like the days of like sort of like getting drunk in the park with your mates and stuff like that at a very young age when you can't get into bars and things. And because we didn't really, like, because obviously we didn't know each other when both of us were doing that, we met each other towards the end of when we were both doing that. It's probably a more accurate statement. It was nice writing the song, but still sort of like we were still hitting on the same sort of like topic points. And when we were writing it, all seemed to just like flow together really well for different verses. And it wasn't like one of us was trying to write about something with an idea in mind and one of us was trying to write with something else. It was the same sort of idea, and it just came together really nicely to form the song, which was really good. There was no sort of like no butting heads or anything and no trying to go in different directions. It all just sort of like flowed. You said, we got it wrote really quickly and we both knew sort of like what we wanted to write, which was really cool.
I think the nice thing about this as well was that I've done a fair bit of co-writing, and sometimes you find because you've been thrown into a room with this person you've never met before and they come up with an idea, and if they seem excited about it, you think, oh God, I can't tell them that I don't like that idea. I'll go with it. And then you end up with something that you didn't really want to write and you didn't want to put in a song. And the nice thing is, because me and Charlie, when it comes down to it, we're just mates. We spend so much time with each other, just shooting the breeze, drinking coffee and chatting nonsense.
And getting very drunk.
But it was nice to be able to go, oh, what about this line? This is great. And then someone, no, it's dreadful. Cut that out. It's a waste of a line. It just got to the point quicker.
Yeah.
And then I think that allowed us to get to the best possible format of the song we could get, opposed to, I guess, like trying to like pepper each other up and go, oh no, that's good.
Yeah, it sounds a bit false. Yeah,
there was no real like formalities because like obviously we know each other so well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of great. How the song came about, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's give it a listen. And then when we come back from this, we're going to go straight into one of your 5-minute song challenges. Have you decided yet? It's going to be Luke first.
Is it? I'll go first. I'll set the bar low.
Brilliant. All right. Well, this is Still Stumbling, and we'll be back in a minute with the 5-minute song challenge.
Sitting stare at this empty pack of cigarettes. Smoke them all before you reach midday. It was you who bought me my first ever open pack. Way back when we were underage. You got clean, but nicotine, it had me. And every day you begged for me to quit. You moved away from my rebel days, far from me. And the core still stayed, so I'm holding on to all I yesterday. Oh, oh, when are you coming home? Oh, oh, would you recall my face? Drinking bottles in the park till we'd forget our names. You used to wear my coat when it grew cold. Stumble home as dawn was dawning, the night began to drain. How I long to stumble home with you again. We'd laugh until our eyes were filled with tears. But I ain't seen that smile for quite some time. I still have a shoebox full of memories. You in your ripped jeans, and me in my school tie. Oh, 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 when are you coming home? Oh, oh, would you recall my face? Drinking bottles in the park till we forget our names. You used to wear my coat when it grows cold. We stumble home as dawn was dawning, the night began to drain. Now I long to stumble home. Always said you'd be the girl with flowers in her hair. Born far too late, and the world never cared. Oh, you grew me, I stayed here. Drinking bottles in the park till I forget my name. Only one that wears my coat when it grows cold. I stumble home as dawn is dawning, the night begins to drain. How long to stumble home with you again?
Okay then, so William Thomas, first 5-minute song challenge out of the two we're doing today. Looking forward to this, mate.
Yeah.
The bar is not going to be low. You mentioned that earlier. It's not. Yeah. This is going to be a good challenge.
I'll let your viewers decide for themselves, I think.
All right, let's do this. The floor's yours, mate. Take it away.
Rainy day busking on Lee City Street.
Am I not playing at the bar? Singing to one man all alone in the pub. He said, boy, you're gonna go far. But me, I don't mind as long as I've got change for a pint. And in my right hand, there's a smoke. And I've got a close screw full of friends. They still laugh at my shit jokes.
That's all I got in the 5 minutes.
That was beautiful. That's a round of applause, guys. Gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much, William Thomas. Okay. All right then. So we're back in. Thank you very much for the magic of Adobe for editing this together so it was completely seamless. We're back in with Luke Jackson's 5 minute song challenge. Ready to rock? Ready to do this?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Take it away.
We're down by the seaside, down by the sea. By the water's edge, my old friends and me. We're down by the ocean, down by the coast. Talking about all the music that we love the most. Pass me the guitar and I'll sing you a song. But give me five if you've the time, 'cause I need to write one. Quickly now, write it down. Time is of the essence. 5 minute challenge for the seaside session.
Yes, very nice, very nice. Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so that's it. That's the end of the episode. Thank you so much, Luke Jackson.
Thank you
so much for William Thomas. Thanks for joining me today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us as well. Don't forget, if you like this podcast, to share it with all your friends and give us the ratings on the iTunes store and all that sort of business. And we'll catch you next week.
Campfires roaring, embers glowing in the air. The girls are all dressed up, boys act like they don't care. Jack's dancing with whiskey in his hand. Smoke 20 cigarettes, probably smoke 20 more.